is enough, and it's
time for a change.
It is Sunday, and you're listening to the Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast.
We're in the big D tonight, baby, and we are live. Woo! Yes! 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 Don't you dare be sour!
You just made the list!
So why don't you choke on that?
Oh, son of a bitch, if you just heard the glass shatter, that's right, it is the Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast right here on Swerve Talk Network and WWPN. And I'm the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, the one man with no Instagram, Kimmy Killer. Woo, man, episode 218, I think. A long bloody ass time we've been doing this now. But yeah, I'm just happy that I can call to my friends, even though I'm doing this by myself. I call to my friends every other week as we do on a live show. So, who have I called in? I have called in none other than my Big Slam Nation brother. One of the hosts of the PW Hustle. It is none other than Billy Ray Valentine. Billy Ray, welcome back. And also, you are a host on Truth. Is it True Frequency Radio as well?
Yeah, True Frequency Radio, man. Hey, first of all, I just want to say what's up, man. What's up to everybody in the UK, and what's up to you, Kenny Killer. It's been a bit. I'm happy to be back on a Sunday Segway. I got to say what's up to all my people at WWPN. What's up, CEO Hayes and Bello and all you cats over there that are currently listening to this, because you're on that network too, because you're making moves. And man, I just want to say what's up to everybody. Yeah, and I'm on True Frequency Radio every Saturday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern live. Doing a conspiracy fringe show, which is my thing, and it should be your thing, meaning all of you listening. So if you have some time, go tune in Eastern. I don't know what that translates to over there, wherever you're at, because I just
5 hours
know.
Basically 5 hours behind me. five hours. Yeah,
it's 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern live. You can call in if you want. We actually haven't taken phone calls, but we're gonna start. And it's on demand all the time. It's called The Infinite Fringe. You just go in there, look up my pretty face, and boom, you'll find it, man. But what's up to you, man? I'm glad to be on, bro. I want to talk some wrestling today with you, man.
Yeah, man. It has been a hot minute, man. A lot of stuff has been going on, so I'm just glad to get you back on and, you know, obviously touch base and whatnot. But it's nice to know that you have other interests outside of wrestling. Obviously, us wrestling fans do tend to have other things going on. So, it's nice that, you know, you're able to tell the peeps about True Frequency and the Infinite Fringe. Let's go to my other guest, none other than my Swerve Talk brethren, one of the guys from our business partners in Crime Max Wrestling. It is none other than Butcher 69 himself, David Gurm.
Afternoon, my brother. Always a pleasure to step on this show, man. It's the reason why I'm here, man. You made it possible for my show to exist, and this is why I do this. We flourish together, we bow together, and we die together. Let's talk some fucking wrestling.
Let's talk some fucking wrestling, exactly. Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast, you can find us at Sunday Segway, S-G-U-E. Also, you can find us on Podomatic, Stitcher, YouTube, Facebook, and don't forget to download that Double Twist Player. Okay, let's get into some wrestling talk. We're going to start at the top, start with Raw, okay? Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, and Samoa Joe angle. You know, we had Kurt Angle come out. I thought Kurt Angle, Billy Ray, I thought Kurt Angle was gonna, you know, it was gonna be the main thing about the show, but it wasn't, which I was glad about, because obviously there's other things going on in the WWE other than Jason Jordan. But it was nice to see. It was nice to see Braun come out, you know, interrupt Angle, just straight bossing it. And then Samoa Joe come out. I think, you know, his pay-per-view match with Brock Lesnar definitely did him some real good, because anytime he comes out, he gets the pop. People, he's legit. People take him seriously, which I like. And then Roman Reigns decided to come out, put his little 2 cents in, telling those cats they ain't done shit since they've been there, which was, you know, some heel tendencies, but he's just speaking the truth. I just like the way that these three worked together. Now, are you looking forward to this match at SummerSlam?
I am, man. I am looking forward to the match at SummerSlam, actually, man. I think Brock Lesnar might actually drop the title. I wasn't feeling that way up until a couple of weeks ago. I think he might actually drop the title. He may, you know, all these UFC rumors, man, he might hop over there. And he may have to drop the title to someone. Who he's going to drop the title to is still a question. I'm not sure. See, as much as I want Samoa Joe to be the WWE champion, I mean the Universal champion or the WWE champion, as much as I want that to happen, I am still not sold on that happening because of the history, man. You know, with Samoa Joe, I never thought I'd see Samoa Joe in this position in the first place. Mm-hmm. So just seeing him here is like wow to me. I'm like, oh my God, he's on Raw. He's fighting Braun Strowman and Brock Lesnar, you know, even though he lost to Brock Lesnar in some bitch manner, but at least in my personal opinion. But regardless of that, like, I still want to see it. I'm very interested. I might be in the building that day. I'm not 100% sure. I think I'm definitely going to NXT, but I've done NXT for the past 2 years, so I want to make it a third. I don't know if I'm going to make SummerSlam, but I'm going to make a push for it this year to be in the building. Samoa Joe could walk out of there with that Universal title. Don't hold your breath.
Don't hold your breath. Well, the thing about it as well, within, you know, especially with Samoa Joe, is that they thought rumors that he was meant to be a stopgap. He was meant to be the guy just to fill in that pay-per-view in the middle and then move on to other things, you know.
I think, not to interrupt you, man, but I think you're absolutely right. And this is what people need to understand. Because people jump into it automatically. They're like, oh, they always have plans for Joe. You know, look what they're doing with Joe. They always have plans with Joe. They have plans to elevate him. No. He was
too
a stopgap.
Scared to use Joe. Yeah, they're too scared to use Joe. Joe's a convincing badass, man. Joe can fight anyone, you know what I mean? there's nothing scared, you know what I mean? There's nothing. You don't need really to hide anything when you put someone like Joe with Lesnar. Joe will go toe-to-toe with anyone.
That's the thing I love about him. They're not bitching him out. He's going in there and you know when sometimes with heels that, you know, when they come up against the babyface and, you know, the babyface steps to him, oh, you know, cowers away and walks away or whatever. He don't do that. He just steps to them, steps to Strowman, steps to Reigns, and he just, you know, he just hits them with the harsh jab. I just love the jabs. I just love the right jabs that he gives. He just works up and just pop right in your right in the chops.
I wasn't happy with the way he lost to Brock. A lot of people, oh, thank you. You know, some like-minded people, I appreciate it because I get crap from this from a lot of people. Like, I don't like the way he lost to Brock. 1-5 in 5 minutes done, and everybody talks about, oh, he was booked properly. I don't think so. Not in any way, shape, or form. But also, I want to get back to my earlier point. He was meant to be a stopgap. He was the sacrificial lamb for Finn Balor. That was Finn Balor's spot, and they didn't want Finn Balor to lose and he to move on to another program. So they put Samoa Joe in there, and the fans kind of turned it around. The match kind of turned it around. They were like, all right, fine. People like Joe. Let's keep incorporating him into this. I think it changed. I don't think it was the plan.
I you know what? I completely am with you on that one. Okay, so Gillum, who do you reckon is going to take this match at SummerSlam? You know, we've got Fatal 4-Way. It's safe for Brock, obviously, to drop it without being pinned. Now, there's rumors out there, you know, the dirt sheets or whatnot about Lesnar not signing after, you know, the end of his contract. So, you know, he's got to start making movements, got to start putting some people over. So who do you think is going to take the strap and who is going to take the fall?
I mean, first and foremost, I mean, I'm a Brock guy from the 2000s, you know. Everyone likes a return of a guy, you know what I mean. Everyone marks out for it. This Brock thing for me now, it's past. It's done. But you know, when you look at Brock, does Brock actually look like he wants to be in the WWE? I don't think so. I mean, there's enough guys there now to pass the torch. But I mean, we've seen go to Joe. I mean, I've been a fan of Joe since, you know what I mean, since the late 90s. Coming in, obviously, to TNA, ROH, you know. The guy came into NXT, and straight away I asked questions about Joe. Are they going to utilize him, right? Are we going to see, you know, that guy that people used to chant, Joe's going to kill you, you know? But that moment against Lesnar, I thought, yes. Yes, they're doing it. They're doing it. They're letting him be Joe, you know. And then you've seen the growth of Braun Strowman. You know that guy's fucking running down. You know what I mean? He's a freight train. He's unstoppable. Do you know what I mean? Not perfect on the mic, But it's like you say, Kenny, he's not meant to be perfect on the mic. He's meant to do what he does in a ring. Don't give him a mic. Don't let him say too much. Just let him kill shit, you know? And me personally, I want Braun to run away with it. I really do. I think if you're going to pass the torch, we're running out of big guys in the business, you know? Big Show, last legs. Kane, last legs. Taker's gone. Lesnar's going to step aside. Braun's going to be the only big guy until we see the young kids from NXT, you know, your Dylan Miley and stuff like that coming through. I would like to see it put on Braun. Do I see it going on Braun? Not until the end of the year. This is going to hurt me.
It's going to be interesting.
I really think Reigns is going away with it. You know, I really do, and it fucking pains me. And not a bigger Reigns, because I think the guy gets a lot of flack for shit that ain't his fault. Yeah. You know, but I think we're slowly seeing Reigns starting to say things. Not particularly kissing anyone's ass no more. You know what I mean? He's getting in people's face. He's trying to rub people up the wrong way. Maybe the fact that they give him the title kind of cements the fact that I don't care about you anymore.
Yeah.
This is me.
I think,
you know, and then have people chase him.
I think,
you know, no longer will he be the guy that does the chasing and the running.
I think WWE is going to be in a unique situation again where they have, you know, John Cena's going to be going. He's going to be winding down. He's got other things going on. You know, Brock Lesnar's going to be gone. Taker's gone. Who the hell do they go to? They're going to be in a unique situation where now they have to find someone. They've got to find, well, not even find someone. They've got people. They need to build them up. AJ Styles is definitely in the WWE at the right point in time where he can take over that mantle. You know, especially as a babyface. Kevin Owens, perfect guy. They've got a lot of guys in there that can, you know, take those spots, but they just need to build them properly. They just need to build them properly.
I mean, let's not forget that the social media's blew up over the last few weeks with Roman Reigns and John Cena. You know, you can slowly see them. I mean, they're two guys that haven't gone toe-to-toe. But at the minute, they're the two main guys that the WWE is focusing on. They're trying to get Roman over. And Cena's openly stating, you know what I mean? He's now the free agent. He's the go-between two brands. You know what I mean? He's the guy keeping the ratings up on both shows.
Yeah.
You know, do we see it?
Cena's going to have that special treatment, that Brock treatment after WrestleMania, 100%. You're only going to see him for, you know, the mate, like the SummerSlams and the maybe Money in the Bank sort of. He's going to be there for the you know, for those kind of pay-per-views. Let's move on, Billy Ray, to Rollins and Ambrose, because these two, now I did not see them putting these two together. I didn't see it in a, you know, a mile away. I did not see it. So to see them quickly put something together like this, where, you know, they're thinking about the Shield and they're telling the story of the fact that Rollins hadn't said sorry for what he had done back then. And I like that they're piecing that together. Do you see maybe them feuding with, you know, feuding with Cesaro and Sheamus? Because the way that they're looking at the moment is they're telling that story, and then maybe, you know, Dean Ambrose gets happy and whatnot with him, and then bam, we do the switcheroo, you know, we do the switch, and Ambrose is the heel, baby, and you know, Rollins is the babyface. What do you think?
Yeah, man, I think they're gonna go for the tag straps. They're probably gonna win the tag straps, and at some point, Ambrose is gonna snap on him. I mean, that's the way it looks like it's going. Ambrose is due. Ambrose needs a heel turn. He's become really bland for a while now, and I like Dean Ambrose, you know. But he's due for a heel turn. And I think he'll make an excellent heel. I think he'll be over as hell as a heel. So I want him to turn on Rollins bad, actually. I mean, right now I'm not interested in this. I'm just not. But there's a lot of WWE that I'm just not interested in. But this is a part of it, and I think when I might stick around and watch to see Dean Ambrose turn heel on him, because that's what's going to happen ultimately. I think that's where the story's leading. But they're going to take those tag straps before they do. And it's also worth noting that the only time Roman Reigns is over is when he's a part of the Shield. Otherwise, no one gives a shit. You have to look at that. If the WWE wants to put this guy over in any way, shape, or form, they'll resort to anything to get Roman Reigns over. So a Shield reunion isn't out of the question.
Interesting. Gillum, let's go on to Cena and Nakamura. Now WWE, you know, they're doing something different again, where they're starting to announce next week's matches, you know, beforehand, which is a good move, because you know the ratings that stuff, you know, so it's good, it gets you ready, you know what's happening next week. One thing we didn't know that was happening this week is that Chris Jericho was returning, which was a very good surprise. But one thing we do know next week that's happening is Cena against Nakamura, and the winner will face off against the modern day Maharaja, who I love, Jinder Mahal. Shanti
don't end Jinder.
Gives me that feeling of when Goldberg went off against Hogan at, you know, Nitro, and they missed out on a big pay-per-view match. It gives me that kind of feeling. Am I looking forward to it? Yeah. Are they going to give us everything? No, because they're probably going to go back here again. But is it worth giving us this little sprinkling on SmackDown just for the ratings to then move on to see either Cena versus Jinder or Nakamura versus Jinder? Because personally, I prefer to see Cena versus Nakamura over any Jinder match with them two, you know? So what's your thoughts?
Yeah. I think it just shows the damage, obviously, that shakeup did to SmackDown in terms of creative, in terms, you know, writing, booking. I ain't going to knock no talent on there, because there's enough talent. But a lot of it, to me, seemed very, very... When I use the term green... I don't use it as in terms of experience and things like that, but I mean main stage pushes, you know. Nakamura, fucking phenomenal NXT, phenomenal New Japan. Come up to SmackDown, I just think they threw him in, then slowed him down, and now they want to restart that again, you know what I mean? We've seen it. I mean, Rusev, what the fuck are they doing with Rusev? I mean, me personally, with this match, I think they're just going to use it for another fucking Rusev Cena at SummerSlam. And then we're going to see Nakamura versus Jinder. And then, obviously, Corbin cashing in. I mean, that's just the way I see it. And then we're going to see Nakamura-Corbin resume their rivalry.
Okay.
That's the only way I can say. It's frustration with looking at it. Is they're not booking correctly. They're not building. You know what I mean? It's...
Man,
it's just every reason for you not to want to tune in, or it's every reason for you just to want to fast forward every fucking 10 minutes of wrestling, which you shouldn't be doing. I weren't doing this 10 years ago.
I weren't doing it. I know exactly what you mean. Billy Ray, Nakamura, you know, we haven't seen the best of Nakamura on the main roster. We haven't seen a lot of the best from some of the NXT guys that have been brought up to the main roster. But Nakamura, you know... It hurts me, man, because I've met Nakamura, and you know, being a massive New Japan mark and following him in New Japan, and also, you know, coming off the Wrestle Kingdom match with AJ Styles and all that kind of stuff, then coming in with Sami Zayn and all of that, you know. What's your thoughts on how he's being booked, and what do you think they need to do to, you know, get him across in a better way? Because he's over, there's no doubt, but I just feel like, maybe the fans are just seeing an entrance and not the rest.
First off, I got to say that the Butcher is on point. I like this guy. You're responsible for this guy in some way, shape, or form. I like this guy. This is good. second, man, I got to tell you, we're never going to see the tops of Shinsuke Nakamura in the WWE.
Not allowed.
Ever. And it pains me. All right. First of all, they don't know what the hell they're doing with the guy. They're trotting him out there to speak English. The guy doesn't freaking speak English, man. Like, I mean, it doesn't come off 100, bro. Like, it just doesn't. It's a deficiency. All right. So it's obvious to me and everyone listening to this podcast that it's a deficiency. Why isn't it obvious to them? Why are they trotting him out like this? And then they calm him down, like they said, they cool him off. Now they're putting him up against John Cena. And this is a dream match to anyone in the world, right? Whether you like Cena or hate Cena. You want to see Nakamura versus Cena? I want to see it. I don't want to see it on SmackDown for 5 minutes, all right? Yeah. And that's probably what's going to go down. 5-9 minutes tops. Somebody's going to interfere. I thought for a long time that Baron Corbin was going to cash in on Nakamura. I'm not sure anymore. I'm not sure what's going to happen here. Don't be surprised. Actually, I don't think Nakamura's going to lose on SmackDown. It might be some type of double DQ or something like that. but don't be surprised if he loses. You're never going to see the Shinsuke Nakamura from Wrestle Kingdom over here. They don't know what they're doing with the guy. They don't know what they just got to let people be with who they are. And mm-hmm. and they're calling him the artist. You know, it's you know, we talk about it on the PW Hustle and over on onewrestling.com. You know, they're going to put a artist jacket on him, and they're going to have him come out with a paintbrush like and start doing. Yo, don't be surprised if they do this. It's the WWE. Anything can happen, quite literally. All right. And this guy's going to start painting murals of people. I mean, like,
it's frustration, isn't it? You know what I mean? I put on Kenny seen it yesterday. I binge watched New Japan yesterday. And I must have watched about 14 Shinsuke Nakamura matches, right? Now, in every one of their matches, every one I watched was up there.
Phenomenal.
Five star. Yeah. And then you go and watch his style. They're trying to show you the same style he uses in New Japan, but they're throwing you PG-rated shit down your throat.
Yeah, man.
That ain't Shinsuke Nakamura, man.
Yeah.
You know what? Him down?
You know what's also a good example is Hideo Itami. Mm-hmm. I'll talk about Kenta.
Yeah.
Kenta, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. You know, I mean, Kenny Killer. Mm-hmm. You and I have spoken, right? Kota Ibushi, my favorite wrestler right mm-hmm. now, just hands down. I love Japanese wrestlers. They're just the best. I like Mexican wrestlers. I like all wrestlers, but Japanese wrestlers are freaking amazing. Kenta was one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. All right. His style just never translated over to the WWE. So he comes to NXT. They don't know what they're doing with him, and no one cares. Mm. Yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura is somewhat over. He is over. I'll give you that, because I had that argument with somebody. Even with the bad matches, he still gets a pop. He is over, but how much of that is the music? Mm. You know, like you said, how much of that is the music, man? Yeah. Like, I mean, how much of that is the novelty of him coming out right now? When does it start getting old?
Yeah, true. That's the thing. It's hard. It's hard to take. It's really, really hard to take. And it's tough because you're trying to stay face. You know, you're trying to be like, oh, make little excuses. Oh, you know, it's WWE. Da, da, da. But when you see it on the forefront, it's horrible to watch because you just, as a real Nakamura fan, you know what the fuck is going down. Especially what makes it worse is we're watching the G1 at the moment. Oh my days. It's the worst thing, watching the G1 and seeing Nakamura and seeing like a half booked Nakamura. It's just the weirdest thing. And I feel like they missed a trick on using fucking Matt Bloom. He's there. He wrestled in Japan. He knows what the fuck the booking is like, right? So they missed a trick there. And why the hell haven't they contacted Taka? I don't understand why someone, because they're not going to get Gedo. Obviously, they're not going to get Gedo in. Why haven't they contacted Taka and got Taka in to do some, to work with them, you know, especially the Japanese talent, because we're going to see a lot of Japanese talent in WWE. It's just going to happen. We're going to see a lot. There's already a lot there. Why haven't they put in a contingency plan? Because Funaki mm-hmm. isn't going to do... He's going to do a bit part and help them with the language. But what about the rest? They're not used to the WWE booking, and obviously they got, you know... WWE have to try and incorporate the style of the wrestler with the WWE style, but not losing the essence of the wrestler. You know what I mean?
I mean, I always thought, you know, when they brought Liger in, and Liger for Breeze... I always thought, fucking, why ain't you got someone like him? You know, your Jushin Ligers. The list is huge. You know what I mean? Just historic people who worked in New Japan, whether it's in New Japan, whether it's Noah. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Great Muta fucking is always in the States. Working with that company down the road that I won't mention its name. You know, but like you said, why are they not? Are they interested in breaking that them shores of Japan? Because they're trying to break down the walls in India. Why the most important place you should be trying to break down walls is you should be trying to break down that Great Wall of China, and then moving over to Japan.
I'll tell you what, man. They're not interested in the Japanese style. They're interested in the Japanese market, but in their own way. They're not interested in the Japanese style. They're not going to call Gato. They're not going to call anybody else. They're not going to do it. They want a WWE style. The WWE is very good at putting people over that they have created. Mm-hmm. They're not very good at bringing people over and making them great that are already great somewhere else. Only good example of something like this is AJ Styles who was an anomaly, let me tell you, a glitch in the Matrix. He's freaking the Neo. He is the Neo of professional wrestling right now. I mean, there's nothing that, I mean, I can't believe it personally. And Ric Flair. Ric Flair, back when he came out, they booked him strong as hell. Otherwise, it's always been like this. And this is why I'm not 100% on Samoa Joe. Mm-hmm. But the WWE is not interested in bringing over the Japanese style. They're not interested in the strong style.
Of it.
Yeah, they definitely are. You know, you'll see more of it in NXT a little bit. But even in NXT, NXT does a much better job.
Yeah.
Actually, so I don't want to knock NXT. They do a much better job. But I think Vince and the WWE at this point in time is just not interested in bringing over that style. They want to make these guys adapt to the WWE style. They figure we're the big leagues. You got to adapt. Go ahead,
I think it's gonna. I think a lot will probably change once Vince is gone, because you know Triple H has got his own way and his own look, and he knows what he wants to see. Hence why NXT is booked the way it's booked. But man, for now, all I'm saying is some of these guys is better hold the fuck off. Like Okada, order, stay where you are. Stay where you are, because now Okada is like fucking Ric Flair.
Kota Ibushi made the fucking best choice 100%. Ever.
That's what I was gonna say, man. Yeah. Like even Liger, like I mean one off. He came in, all right, I did my business, I'm out. And Kota Ibushi did the same thing. As much as it pained me in my heart to see him come over, because I knew what was gonna happen. But I was happy. I'm like, I got Kota Ibushi in the States, and then he booked it, and I guess he did the right thing.
Same with Zack Sabre. He's in New Japan now. G1, making guys look silly, making them tap out and shit. It's nuts. Anyway, let's move on. We've got a few more things to do before we get to our break. Okay, AJ Styles, Jericho, and Owens. Okay, Butcher. So, Jericho comes back. Massive pop.
Marked out.
The crowd Marked there, out. By the way. The crowd, where was it, Philly? The crowd, geez. That's all I'm saying. They were good. And so AJ Styles, Jericho, Owens, main event, US title. What a match. I was very, very happy with the match. I liked the way they booked the ending, especially the last 10 minutes was really, really good. And the way also that, you had the little heel thing going on where one would do a finisher, throw the other guy out, try and pin him. I liked that. And they used that for all three of them, which I enjoyed. AJ Styles, new champ. What do you think of the match and the way it was, the way the US title is being booked at the moment?
I marked out. I got to be honest. I marked out. The moment Owen started talking shit in the ring, with his looking all prim and proper in his suit and his nice groomed hair, which just ain't Kevin Owens, you know? And then I just heard that music. And then, that joy came back to me. I was like, oh, yeah, now this is the shit I was watching months ago before the man that should have been world champion left, you know? Personally, I would have sooner have seen Jericho interrupt Jinder. You know, I would have sooner Jericho, because I mean, the one thing a Jinder segment misses at the minute is almost, we don't want to see too much comedy, but I would love to see the likes of Jericho, you know what I mean, talking about Jinder's stooges, the Bollywood boys, and you know, you're on the list, you know what I mean, and you know what I think of the Punjabi prison? It's going on the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see, you know, Jericho deserves one last run. You know, if you know what I mean? If the guy's going to come back and go and, you know what I mean? Let's face it. None of us like this part-time malarkey where guys come and go, and just get a paycheck. Jericho comes back, but he comes back every single time to put people over and make new characters. He loves it. But he's the best. What he's done with this Jericho thing and the list is just fucking extraordinary. You know, WWE have been struggling to make characters superb and stand out for years. And Jericho comes back within like 12, 18 months and creates this fucking money phenomenon that only WWE and Vince McMahon are going to capitalize on. So what I want to say to Vince McMahon is, where's Chris Jericho's push? Where's Chris Jericho's money?
Yeah.
Why isn't Chris Jericho walking out on the man that's Jinder Mahal, who is extraordinary, people? I mean, I don't end the Jinder. I'm all for this Jinder push. As much as people are going, oh, he's on steroids.
Fuck that. Well, he's taking his opportunity. The thing I like about Jinder though is that, you know, he did that Mayweather hard work dedication. He's put that, you know, put that work in. The only thing I saw Jinder is missing is that proper heel shit. I want this. Baron Corbin's almost doing it in the way that, you know, people's having interviews and he just come and just bang you out whilst you're having an interview. You know
I want to see him do that. I mean, I was a big fan of Muhammad Hassan. Back in the day. It was the wrong time for that sort of gimmick.
But he
loved his aggression. Let's not forget that guy was in a position and he was getting ready booked to take out Taker.
Yeah.
You know? That's how strong his character was. Let Jinder do that shit. You know what I mean? Let him walk down to the ring and just whack someone in a camel clutch and just fucking crush him.
Yeah, man, that Sergeant Slaughter shit. Like, you know, you want dudes coming up with death threats, or you don't want that kind of. But you want him, like, you want him to be like the proper old school heel. I know it's 2017, so we won't get that proper territory heel. You know, go to every territory and people's trying to take you out and shit. But like, we just, I don't know, you're just missing something a little bit. What we're gonna do now is we're gonna go to a bit of a break. And then we're gonna come back and we're gonna chat more wrestling. Billy Ray, do you want to say something before we go to a break?
Oh man, no, I didn't, but now you're giving me the opportunity, so I am. Jinder Mahal, man. Jinder Mahal, listen, I like what they're doing with him, but I think you're absolutely right. I think he needs more of an edge. He needs to get better in the ring, and that's never going to happen. But if they give him more of an edge and they book him that way, great. Chris Jericho is a legend. He was always a legend, but he's surpassed legendary status at this point, what he's been doing. It's incredible. I don't think he wants a shot at the Universal title. I don't think that's what even he wants as a person. But it speaks to what the WWE should be doing, because Chris Jericho isn't reading a script from anybody. He walks out there and he does what he does, and that's it. Everybody else is including Roman Reigns, okay, everybody else is dictated to. They have to say what they're told to say in the back and how they're told to say it, told to dress, everything. Jericho does what he wants. And see how much Jericho's over. Than he's really legit of the definition of over. He is over as hell.
Definitely.
I mean, you couldn't get better than that, could you? You know, with him saying to AJ, "I'm in the supermarket, and this guy pushed in front of me. You know what I did? You put him on the list. No, I punched him in the face and I stuck him in the wall." Jericho.
I love Jericho, man. His podcast is wicked. Is wicked too. All right, cool. We're gonna go to a break where you can hear from our business partners in crime, Max Wrestling. And then we'll be back, guys. Talking about everything wrestling and maybe a little smidgen of UFC. Maybe a little spidgin. Okay, so don't you miss it.
Wrestling fans, look no further for the most unpredictable wrestling podcast you've ever heard on the Max Wrestling Podcast, hosted by me, Dazzy Dangerously, with everybody's favorite captains, The Phoenix, The Butcher, and Mike Larkin, plus special guests, promos, and trivia.
Find out what's been going on in wrestling history as I take you down memory lane every week.
And The Butcher's Stupid Idiot of the Week gets it!
And see if you agree with me as I choose every week's segment of the week in the world of wrestling.
The Max Wrestling Podcast is available on
YouTube, Podomatic,
Mixcloud, and SoundCloud.
And the Swerve Talk Network is other great shows.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Max Wrestling UK, or go to our website, maxwrestling.wix.com/maxwrestling.
And that's the bottom line.
Because we're out of time.
Yalla kalaki maka.
Listen in, man.
And we're back. Sunday Segway Wrestling Podcast, episode 218. It's your boy Kenny Killer out here with Billy Ray Valentine and the Butcher 69, Dave Gillum. Okay, now, I didn't know that something happened on UFC yesterday. I did watch the John Jones and Cormier fight this morning, but I didn't know that someone got called out, which Billy Ray alluded to me. So Billy Ray, you want to take it from the top and just let the peeps know what the hell happened, you know, with the shout out to Brock Lesnar?
So John Jones comes back and knocks out Daniel Cormier, which pains me in my heart, because Daniel Cormier is just like you and the Butcher. We're wrestling fans. So I always support Daniel Cormier 100%, but he got knocked the hell out last night, and he lost his belt. And at the end of that, John Jones decides to call out the Beast, all right? And he says, "You want to get your ass whooped? You want to know what it's like to get your ass whooped by somebody 40 pounds lighter than you? Come to the Octagon. Meet me at the Octagon." He straight up told him this. Now, that being said, Don't bite off more than you can chew, brother. Even though John Jones is probably the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world, Brock Lesnar is 40 pounds heavier than you. He will hit you in the face and lay on top of you for freaking 3 rounds, and you will lose. Like, that's the way I feel about it. I know John Jones is a beast. Don't get me wrong. But Brock Lesnar will just punch him and lay on him and continue to punch him. That's just what he – I don't see how John Jones is going to affect this guy. I could be very wrong. I'm normally not wrong, but I could be very wrong. Okay, I don't see how John Jones messes with this guy. And Brock Lesnar coming back to the UFC is big money, which also opens up opportunities for people in the WWE. There's a lot of things going on, a lot of different variables, a lot of moving parts. I'm happy about this. This has got me interested.
It's definitely Dana White at his best, and Dana's seeing the money and the hype that McGregor Mayweather's
don't
getting.
Get me started. Don't get me started.
And you know what I mean? He's jumped on this. I mean, there's a part of me that totally agrees with Billy there. I mean, yeah. I definitely do see the fact that if Brock goes for obviously what he's trained to do and wrestle the guy and pound him, then John ain't got, he ain't gonna do shit. But then I worry, and I think if Brock ain't gonna able to get close to him, all we're gonna see is another. The last two fights I've seen, well, other than Hunt, was Alistair Overeem and Clayton Cain Velasquez. And Brock didn't end well. But saying that, Brock was in a completely different condition value on his career there. Exactly. You know? But yeah. Brock had that horrible illness. Mm. Go look at him at Mark Hunt. Mark Hunt was lucky. Not to get his, you know what I mean? Anyone that can say that Brock Lesnar only won because he was on steroids. Did he look like he was on steroids? Oh.
No, get the fuck out of here. He dominated Mark Hunt. Yeah. Mark Hunt would have got his ass whooped steroids or not.
Yeah. He would have got his ass whooped again.
Than when he made his debut against Frank Mir.
If I was Brock, I would have taken that Hunt fight again and just fucking wiped him out just and get that paycheck, exactly. get that moolah, you know.
I'd be more worried about a 40-year-old Brock Lesnar than a, you know what I mean, a mid-30s Brock Lesnar, because this guy now is hungry and he's scary, fucking dangerous. You know what I mean?
And I would have cut a wrestling promo too. I would have been like, I've been taking out Samoans for over 10 years. I took out The Rock. I took out Roman Reigns. Now I'm gonna beat your ass, Mark Hunt. See, that's what the UFC is missing, right? And Pride did it before. What is it? Bellator kind of does it. They have the wrestling aspect of it. That's what brought me in with Rampage Jackson wearing the chains
and the chain,
and looking like a bull. You know, and I was like, whoa, I'm interested now. You know, and that's what kind of. Yeah, that's what Conor McGregor does that gets me interested, because he talks so much crap. Yeah. You either want to see him get knocked out or you want to see him knock someone out. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean that element of calling people out and cutting promos on people, they got to incorporate that, and that's what this did last night. I was like, oh my God. So what? Yeah, tell me, I'm getting worked. I don't care. I want to get worked. I want to see this. You know?
Just obviously, you know, we're talking wrestling, we're talking a bit of UFC, so I'm just gonna throw a little boxing out there. Adrian Broner got his ass handed to last night by Mikey Garcia. God damn! Mikey Garcia coming up from the lightweight division, going up to light welterweight, and just mugging Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner, hey, listen, the shrill he gave at the end, right, in the post-fight interview was the funniest thing. The guy just got so angry, he just started just cussing people. He was just like, you know what? You know, I'm gonna fight at 147 again, 140, I'll go back down, it doesn't matter, I'll beat everyone at the end of the day. I'm a four-weight world champion, and that's all that matters. I'll be in the history books. And that's it. Like, dude, you just lost again. Like, you just lost, man. Just be humble, just take it on the chin and just walk away, you know. So
he's doing an Amir Khan, isn't he?
Oh my days. Anyway, let's get back to wrestling. Okay, so there's rumors, Superstar Shakeup, another one. You know, DJ Khaled and another one. So what are we expected to see? There's rumors talking about people moving around, people moving from the main roster to NXT. So with that being said, okay, three people each you guys have, okay? You can have the same person, it doesn't matter. Billy Ray, which three wrestlers, I should say, female, male, would you send back down to NXT?
Send back down to NXT?
Send back down, yeah.
All right, Sami Zayn. You got to send him back down to NXT. Okay. All right, because he's so good, and what they're doing with him is just, oh, my God. I mean, do something with him. Like, I had the hope that they were going to, you know, like he was playing the loser role to only one day win. I don't think that's going to happen anymore. Just send him back down to NXT and have him, you know, who was it? Tyson Kidd went back down there and revitalized his career. So they could do the same thing with Sami Zayn. Let me think of somebody else. Who else? Throw some names at me, man. You put me on the spot, and right now I'm like,
what? I'll go over to Butcher for his first one, and you can think for your second
one. That's a good idea.
So,
go ahead,
Butcher,
go ahead.
Who would you send down?
You know what? I think I'd have to agree with Billy, to be honest. Yeah, I would have to go with Sami Zayn. He's in no man's land. He's in limbo. For me, the only thing they could do is Sami to, you know what I mean, revitalize him is repackage him. And how would you repackage someone that's only really ever been, you know what I mean, El Generico? You know, he's just coming to, you know, he's coming to NXT without the mask. His style's not differed or to an extent because it's PG, you know, but he was allowed to be Sami Zayn more in NXT than he's allowed to be on the flagship shows, you know. NXT allows wrestling, you know.
Yeah.
Where the fucking flagship show that makes millions and millions of dollars, it doesn't allow wrestling. Secondly, people are going to probably shout now and scream, but who am I to give a shit? Bailey. Bailey. For me, her flaws are showing. She's not ready for, she's definitely not ready for Monday Night Raw in terms of standing in that ring and cutting promos and calling people out, you know, because for me, the moment she calls people out and someone gets in the ring, she looks like she just shit her pants, you know. She shows too much, so I don't get this wrong, raw emotion, right? Raw emotion. There's emotion when you know what I mean, you win a big one, but she, I think she still shows the emotion like she's just got the phone call from Triple H saying, "Hey Bailey, I want to give you a call, I want to give you a tryout." That sort of emotion, she's still showing it, but she's there. She doesn't need to show that. You know what I mean? Wow, look at this arena. I'm here now. She's been there how long?
I still don't
believe that she's kind of ready. All the ability in the world, and we've all seen it, you know. Mm-hmm. But I just don't think, and for one person to come up who is Asuka, you know, one strong person needs to go down. That's just the way I look at it. There is a lot of strong people in that, on that roster now, and they're slowly rebuilding it, you know. Peyton Royce, Billy Kay, fucking love the shit out of them too, man. I love the shit out of them. Last one. Go over to Billy and I'll think of my last one. Think of my last one.
Go on, Billy.
All right, man. So I got Antonio Cesaro, man, and people are gonna say something about that, but he needs to go back down. He's one of the best performers on the roster, and he's been in limbo for so long. I don't want to see him in the tag division. I don't want to see him paired up to Sheamus. Right, so what? He's the tag team champion. Nobody cares about the tag team straps anymore. We should put this guy back in NXT. And give him a run. You know, like, they're lacking main eventers over there. What is it? Against, you can put Cesaro against Black. What's his face?
Yeah, Aleister Black. Oh, God.
Aleister Black versus Cesaro for the NXT title? People would watch that, especially the marks, you know, especially us, like the smart marks. We will go watch that, man. I hope you guys don't mind being called smart marks. That's what we are, ultimately. I'm sorry if I'm offending anybody, but it's the truth, and that's what I deal in. Anyway, so Antonio Cesaro, right? I would send him back down ASAP. And I was thinking about maybe somebody like a Bo Dallas, but I want to say Enzo Amore, because Enzo isn't that good in the ring, but he's excellent everywhere else, and I mean excellent, probably the best talker in the WWE. So if he can sharpen up his skills a little bit, you know, in the ring, maybe he could go down to NXT and work these guys, work these young indie guys who got it together already. You know, he can help them with promos, and they can help him in ring. And then he comes back, and he'll have, like, some type of a bigger impact. They won't just make him a manager. Does that make sense to you,
Dave? Yeah. No, it does, 100%, 100%. That's your, is that your second one? Who's your, wait, that was your third. That was your third. So
I did three.
Yeah. Gillum. Last one for you. Who would you right. say no?
I was going to say this for the start with, but I was thinking, no, I could get pulled on this ship. But like I said, I don't really care if people pull me. I'm going to go Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm going to go Ziggler because I think we all know that guy is underutilized, and it's almost like for years they've forgotten who Dolph Ziggler was, you know. I do agree when people say he's poor man Shawn Michaels.
Oh, man.
But did Shawn Michaels have the ability that this guy has got? I don't think so. I don't think Shawn Michaels was as athletic as Dolph Ziggler. It's almost like they got obsessed with this. Stupid transitional moves. Dolph Ziggler doesn't have his own fucking finisher. he uses a super kick, you know, that was created by someone else, you know. An elbow drop, which was created by Macho Man Randy Savage. Dolph Ziggler needs his own identity, and I feel sometimes pair Dolph Ziggler with the right person and just let him walk out on NXT and just say, I'm going to run this fucking show now.
Okay.
Bobby Roode needs to go up to the main stage. Leave Drew McIntyre down there for a couple of years. You know, let Dolph Ziggler let Dolph Ziggler invent himself on a wrestling show.
I'm thinking now, which you're saying, Dolph Ziggler, and I agree. But what I actually think is he just needs to leave WWE altogether.
That's what I was. Yeah, no, I agree with that as well. I do agree with that as
that's
well.
That's what I was going to say, Kenny. I was going to jump in there and say that. Like, I do agree that they need to do something with Dolph Ziggler, but him going down to NXT isn't going to change the issue. Mm-hmm. They don't believe in him. They already gave him a world title run. They did nothing. I want to see Dolph Ziggler in the G1. Say goodbye. Go over to New Japan. Go compete in the G1. You're going to become I don't know if he'll become the IWGP champion, but he'll definitely win the IC belt over there.
Yeah.
He'll revitalize his career, and then they'll start looking at him again and be like, okay, maybe we did something wrong with this guy. That's the only way it's going to happen. I don't think a drop to NXT would fix it.
I'd love to see Ziggler and Omega. You know what I mean? I really would.
All right, so let's go on to next news. Oh, by the way, I would say Apollo Crews as well. Let's go on to some other news. So, the Kevin Owens fight documentary has been out. I don't know if you guys have seen it. I've seen it.
Yeah.
Man. Oh, Billy Ray, have you seen it? The Kevin Owens documentary?
I have not. I have my mic on mute. I apologize. Oh. I have not seen the Kevin Owens documentary. I only heard good things about it.
Yeah, man. It is awesome. Spot on. Like, one thing WWE can do, especially now they have agreements with ROH and all these other guys, they could put on a fucking documentary, man. Like, geez, the extras was like another documentary.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Yeah. The extras was like another documentary. It was great. The stories being told about how he came over, the video footage. Oh my god, the video footage. It, stuff I never.
You know what
ever
I got
seen.
From it? You know what I got from it? You know, like when you in the first, I can't remember which one, what it was called. Remember the Bret Hart one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of these obviously WWE ones you've seen over the last 10-15 years, mm-hmm. they don't feel like biographies because they're done like 4 or 5 years after the guy's been in the business. That's not a biography, you know what I mean? He's still relatively new to the business. But you're seeing the complete backstory of Kevin Owens, and people don't realize just how long that guy has been in the business.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
You're Sami Zayn's. Where's Sami Zayn's?
Like, Sami's...
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Like, Sami Zayn, he was pivotal in this. Him and Jimmy Jacobs... They were like, that's the best thing about it. Jimmy Jacobs comes from behind the camera. He's there, you know, real name, everything. Him and Sami Zayn were integral to this DVD being so fucking good. Like, it was brilliant. So Billy Ray, definitely give it a watch. Audio, and watch the extras. I don't watch the extras on the documentaries, but this time I did. And mm-hmm. it was great, man. It was really, really good. One of the best documentaries WWE has done. So I would definitely say to peeps to go out and watch it. Okay, so Rey Mysterio in talks with WWE and GFW, apparently. Billy Ray. Rey Mysterio is there, really? Does WWE need him, really? You know, is there a spot for him, Billy Ray?
I don't know if they're trying to bring him in to boasted at 205 Live, and that's not going to work. WWE doesn't need him, so he shouldn't even go.
No.
I don't see what they would do with him in the WWE. Go to GFW, or you know, my go-to. Go to New Japan. That's where I want to see
everyone.
Yeah.
Just go over to New Japan. Rey Mysterio in the G1 would be amazing. Or whatever. Screw that. You don't want to put him in the G1? Best of the Super Juniors.
Yeah.
All right. I would love to see that. You don't need to come over to the WWE. There's nothing for you to prove. You won all the titles. You won the Rumble. You're good.
Yeah.
Go to GFW and get with LAX. Become a heel.
Yes. Yeah.
I said that.
I tell you what, though. His son apparently is... wrestling is going to be wrestling now, Dominic. He's of age now to wrestle, and apparently he's trying to sign with AAA and all that kind
of
stuff.
Not his son, he's Eddie's.
So that'll be interesting to see whether WWE will try and try and snap him up early and put him under a contract. Okay, so I don't know if you guys have heard this news, but word on the grapevine is that Braun Strowman and Karen Jarrett had some beef. Out in Orlando, where Jeff Hardy's party or whatever he had for his album, and Braun Strowman. So the story is, so I'll set the scene. So Braun Strowman's at the bar, knocking back some brewskis, and Karen Jarrett comes up, starts talking to him, saying, "Oh yeah, my son loves you. Like, can I have an autograph?" And Braun Strowman don't know who the fuck she is. He's just thinking she's another dame. He's just thinking she's another chick. So he's just like, oh, he said something. I don't know what he said, but whatever he said was offensive. He probably said, "Suck my dick and I'll give you an autograph." Like something like that or whatever, "I'm not finished with you yet."
"I'm not finished with you yet."
He said something along those lines, probably. I was waiting for Meltzer to confirm. And then and then Karen Angle just goes off on him and is just like, "Hey, who the hell do you think you are? I'm Karen Jarrett. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My son's father, Kurt Angle," and he's like, "Holy shit!" Starts apologizing and stuff, saying, "Please don't tell Kurt. Please don't tell Kurt." She blows him up, and it's just like, "Oh my days!" Like, you know what I mean? Imagine that, though. Imagine that, Gillum. Jeez.
You don't get me started on that woman, man. That woman's nothing but a fucking shadow. What I mean? I have no time for that woman. Braun should have just picked her up and threw her through a wall.
Listen,
wants to do the best wrestler in the world in Kurt Angle the way she did in Impact Wrestling. They're going to sleep with the boss. Yeah.
Braun, man, don't walk in them alleys because you might just catch a slap nuts. That's all I'm saying. That is all I'm saying. Guitar in your noggin and that's it. Like, literally. Just one last funny one, okay. So Tap Out, they took Akira Tozawa for Nakamura. They made a mistake. They put this out on their Instagram, and there's a picture of Akira Tozawa with his Tap Out, Tap Out top on, and at the bottom it says, "Oh yeah, Shinsuke Nakamura, you with his Tap Out top." And when I saw this, I had to laugh. And it's made its way around to the dirt sheets, and I just had to laugh about it, man. How can you be, right? I mean, Billy Ray, I don't know what you think about this in terms of, you're a sponsor for WWE and you mistake one of their wrestlers. Is that a bad thing or is that a bad thing?
Man, that's a horrible thing, especially the ones that they mistaken, right? Like, they could be taken to task for being racist on that. Not that I think they are, but they'll be like, "Whoa, all the Asians look alike? That's what you're trying to say? Does he look like Shinsuke Nakamura?" Like, I mean, they look nothing alike. Not even close.
The worst thing is, what they could have done was just go onto the WWE website, go to roster, look at the picture to see who this guy is, and it would say Akira Tozawa.
Shameful.
Nah, man,
they're not even the same in height, man. You know what I mean? and just build and physique. And Shinsuke's got like long dark hair.
There was no to look him up. They were 100% sure it was Shinsuke. They're like, "That's Shinsuke. We're good. Don't worry about it."
For saying that, didn't Vince McMahon get Luke Gallows? You know what I mean? He kind of forgot who Luke Gallows was because he definitely didn't know he'd played Festus. I'm sure you read that.
Vince McMahon
got the two. He didn't know when Luke Gallows came back to the WWE. Apparently they had like a meeting or whatever. And they told him who he was. "What? You were Festus?" Jesus Christ, you didn't come up with that idea. Where'd you go to, boy?
Jesus Christ. God damn it, pal.
You definitely give the biscuits and gravy a miss, didn't you?
Pronouns, pal. Okay, that's the end of the show, people, and what a show it was. I like to thank Billy Ray Valentine and The Butcher 69, Dave Gillen, for coming onto the show. This is why I love, you know, my peeps out there. You know, I can call to America. I can even call to, you know, UK. And I know I'm going to get my peeps answering the phone and getting on the show. So, yeah, man, it was just a pleasure having you guys back on. Billy Ray, where can they find you and all your shows on social media?
Hey, I just want to say it's a pleasure coming on a Sunday Segue. Anytime Kenny Killer calls, it's an automatic pickup, 100%. I see Kenny Killer, I pick up the phone. Listen, you can find me over at onewrestling.com. I do all the predictions over there for all the wrestling events, WWE mostly. You can find me over at PW Hustle. We do a show there once a week, nine times, nah, not even, I can't even promise that, but we do shows from time to time. You can find us over at Hacker Hameen, hackerhameen.podbeam.com. We just took the PW Hustle audio. You should be getting a new episode today if I get around to editing it. Also, more importantly, you can find me over at Truth Frequency Radio, iHeartRadio. Download the iHeartRadio app. You can find me on AM, FMs across the country in the United States. You can find me on truthfrequencyradio.com. Saturdays from 2 to 3, talking conspiracy for all of y'all. All right? Kenny, it's a pleasure.
Nice, man. And Gillum, where can they find you, your shows, on the social media, please?
You can find me and my boys at Max Wrestling UK on the Twitter machine. You can also get us at the Swerve Talk Network, where me and our other associates, our boy here inclusive, Kenny. You could also get me on my other channels with WW Podcast 20, that's Wrestling's Worst, and our new project, which is NAF, Not Another Football Podcast, and you can get us at NAF Podcast.
You need to get me on that, man. I can't wait. Listen, I can't wait, man. You need to get me on that shit. Okay, so, as always, you can follow us as at Sunday Segway, Segway spelled S-E-G-U-E. You can follow me at Kenny Killer, that's K-I-L-L-A. Check out my other projects, Dadcast with the man them. You know, once a month, me and Jace, you know, we give you a serious comedy insight into, you know, fatherhood and helping to raise our children. You know, we have different guests on every month and we have a different topic. Now, we have a latest episode out. The topic was grandparents and how your grandparents influence your children, how they help to raise your children. Also, you know, what is your relationship like with your in-laws, you know, and that kind of stuff as well. You know, some people might have a good relationship, some people might have a bad relationship. You know,
my in-laws don't like me, just to let you know.
And also, you know, talking about does your parents treat your kids different to how they treated you, you know. So just give it a watch. You know, it's a nice watch, it's a good laugh. And also, you know, there's new dads out there, there's lots of new dads out there, so if you want a little bit of advice, seek solace in the man them. Seek solace in the man them. Okay, so you can follow the Dadcast, so that's Dadcast WTMD on Twitter, and we've also got a Facebook page as well, so make sure you check that out, guys. So next week we have an interview with Mike and who have we got? We got Mike and Jade Galazia. Now these two, husband and wife, Mike has always been into wrestling, and Jade, when they first got together, she didn't like wrestling, and now she loves wrestling, and they go all over the place watching wrestling. They go to Progress regularly, they go to Pro Wrestling Chaos, they go all over the place. So make sure you check that out next week. It's an interesting listen to these guys, you know, husband and wife partnership. I tell you what, when you find a missus who loves wrestling just as much as you do, jeez, you make sure you put a ring on it. And that's the end, people. So make sure you check us out next week. And if you don't like that, you can choke on that slap nuts. Woo!